It's time for Tiger Talk on Double K Country. It's our weekly discussion of Nevada Tiger Athletics. Tiger Talk is brought to you by Nevada Auto Mall, Smith Insurance, 54 Feed and Seed, Great Southern Bank, Emery's Truck Stop, Sutherland's Home Base, Berry Funeral Home, Buzz's Barbecue, 54 Veterinary Clinic, American Family Insurance Agent Jan Tate, Fearless Products, My Nevada Mo TV, El Dorado Cycle and Outdoor Equipment, Nevada Family Dentistry, The Plumbing Shop, and First National Bank. Let's now join the voice of Nevada Tigers, Mike Harbit, for Tiger Talk.
Hey, welcome everybody to Tiger Talk here on KODM and KODM. The voice of the Tiger is Mike Harbit. Welcome to the program tonight. It's time once again to talk Nevada High School Athletics, more specifically the winter sports season. And we'll do that with Nevada Lady Tiger head basketball coach Blake Howarth. He'll be in the first segment, followed by Tiger head basketball coach Sean Gray. And then later on the program, Andrew Pickin will be talking wrestling with Tiger head coach David Hawks. So for about the next hour and 15 minutes, we're going to be talking to Nevada High School Athletics, and we're glad you joined us on this Wednesday night. Our final Tiger Talk program for 2020 will be taking next Wednesday night off, and then we'll come back on Wednesday, January the 6th, with our next edition of Tiger Talk. We'll come back, get things underway. We'll be joined first by Nevada Lady Tiger basketball coach Blake Howarth. That's after this timeout on Tiger Talk.
Your farm is your foundation, foundation built to thrive and endure for generations to come. At Smith Insurance, it's our mission to make sure your foundation, your livelihood, has the best protection available. Trust Smith Insurance and CFM Insurance, Missouri's oldest and strongest farm mutual, to build a customized policy with your farm's unique coverage and needs in mind. That way, you have complete confidence that your farm policy works as hard as you do every day. Give us a call today to build a better future for your farm, 417-667-1828, or stop by our new office location at 100 South Pruitt Street, Suite B in Nevada.
As you drive west of Nevada, you'll find a quaint town called Deerfield. It's real easy to locate. Look for Emery's Truck Stop on the south side of the road. It's the place where all the farmers eat and have great conversation. With daily lunch specials, breakfast served all day, steak night Friday and Saturday night after 4, they have a full menu and the convenience store has all your favorite grab-and-go items. Don't forget about the 24-hour gas is available, so come out to Emery's Truck Stop in Deerfield for great food. Call for takeout at 966-7272. That's 966-7272 to Emery's Truck Stop in Deerfield.
You're at a place you'd like to write a check, but you know if you do, you'll get grilled. Do you have a driver's license? Do you have a job? A social security number? Why go through that? Use your debit card. It's easier and more convenient than writing a check. The First National Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Now with ATM locations at Murphy's USA next to the Walmart parking lot, Wood Supermarket at 1407 West Austin in Nevada, and the First National Bank on the Nevada Square.
Peerless Architectural Windows and Doors builds windows that go from Fort Scott, Kansas to skylines across America. They believe in providing the best products made in America by Americans. Specializing in high-performance aluminum windows and doors for multifamily, office, schools, military, and historic projects, they are engineers pioneering new technologies that drive bold advances in window designs. They are industry leaders offering unrivaled products and capabilities. Peerless is helping America in the race to an energy-efficient nation.
You've always been able to depend on Double K Country for live coverage of Nevada sporting and community events. And now, you can see live video coverage with NevadaMoTV.com. It's thanks to these fine sponsors that we're able to provide you coverage. Nevada Auto Mall, First National Bank, Brophy Monument, Photography by Wynn, Thorpe's Appliances, Wilson Tire, Thompson Moore Insurance, The Barnes Company, Max Motors, DB Disposal, Compass Health, Emery's Truck Stop, Coonrod Construction, Nevada Medical Clinic, and Nevada Big Deals. It's radio and video together at Nevada. NevadaMoTV.com.
We're back on Tiger Talk on this Wednesday night. Thanks for joining us. Just a couple of days ahead of Christmas, but our final program for 2020. And then we'll take a week off and then come back with a 2021 segment of the Winter Sports Tiger Talk programs. But I think everybody's ready for a little bit of a break. And that includes the Nevada Lady Tiger basketball program of head coach Blake Howarth, who finishes up their first part of their season at the 500 mark at 4-4. Well, I don't know, Blake, maybe you're not ready for a break. Okay, you start off 0-3 and you've won, three of your last four now, or four of your last five, actually. And, so you probably want to keep playing while you got it rolling here.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of starting to figure out, you know, the rhythm of each other and, you know, kind of getting in sync. And so, to go, you know, 4 or 5, the last five games, it's big, but also, I mean, that just shows the character of our players and how hard they've been working. You know, even coming to practice yesterday after a tough win on Tuesday night against Pleasant Hill, they got after it and it was fun. And, you know, great practice. And so, Yeah, I mean, everybody needs a break. You know, too much of a good thing could be a bad thing. And so, you know, we're on the right track that we want to be on. And so to take a couple days and just recoup and get ready for this long push to end the season.
Well, let's go back and review the two games you did play because we don't have one to talk about in the future until our next program on January 6th because you do have a lengthy layoff now until January 7th. But you played two games over the last week. One of them was a late add-on that against the Stockton Lady Tigers last Thursday. They ended up with an open date with a game they were supposed to play against El Dorado Springs. That didn't happen. So, and you had the day free with your game called off against Harrisonville. So, got the two together. Good competitive ball game, and you went at 50-37, and got a lot of good things done. In fact, managed to take a 4-point lead by halftime and kind of rode that and extended it in the second half. Pretty good outing.
Yeah, I mean, once again, you know, we showed up in the third quarter there of that game too, but yeah, it's always nice whenever, you know, you're unable to play a team and you find somebody with the caliber that Pittsburgh and Stockton has that we're able to compete and just kind of continue to work on the things that we need to. And going into that game, we took some things from Pittsburgh and, you know, the inside play was a big thing. And, you know, our post players did it. Taylor Thompson and Abby Hethman showed up and they got it done. And then, you know, we talked to our guards about applying more ball pressure so they don't just have an easy entry into the post. And we had weak side Howie and the whole group and the whole rotation was there. And that's what we were looking for Thursday night against Stockton.
And you kind of got it going with Grace Barnes having the hot hand. She had 14 points and the Gabe Ullman in the first half at four trays. She got it going.
Yeah, and that's the way Grace kind of plays, I guess, and shoots too. You know, when it's on, it's going to continue to fall. And we saw that struggle early, and you know, she stayed positive. The thing with her is she's getting it done on both ends of the floor. I mean, and it's even though she might struggle shooting the ball, she's bearing down and she's guarding people, which is very, very good for us, but also very fun to watch. But yeah, she got hot early. I kind of saw it maybe a little bit in our pregame stuff. She was kind of feeling it. And you can kind of tell. I know that doesn't say a lot, but you can kind of tell those players when they start getting in rhythm there and they are able to carry that over to the game. And she definitely did so against Stockton.
Get that travel thing figured out and we'll be in good shape with her.
Yeah, and that's something we even addressed yesterday. You know, we kind of slowed some shooting drills down and just worked through that jab step and trying to, you know, simulate as close as we could to a game-like play. And, you know, there at first it kind of happened again, but then we were able to walk and talk through and it got better as the drill went on. And so, you know, that's something that we got to continue to work on, and we're going to take that time over Christmas break to do so.
Jen Rickman for Stockton got off to a good start. She also had 14 points in the first half, did not score in the second half, was not much of a factor in the second half. Did you do some different things on her, or it just happened to work out that way?
A lot of it came down to just challenging our players, you know, to come out and play and then to get that lead to going into halftime. I mean, it feels good, but there's certain things that you got to adjust and just, you know, talking about, you know, okay, so, you know, she's going to attack, but also she's going to shoot the ball. So we got to be in a much better defensive position to take away both. And I feel like, you know, challenging a couple of the girls, Clara, Ty, Grace on those players. That's what got it done, is them accepting that challenge and wanting that challenge to stop their best player. And our girls did that and did a great job of it.
Stockton has a player inside in Summer Kenny, just a sophomore, but a player who, when she's not outside, can dominate inside, but really never was a factor down there. And I think you indicated, obviously, you were happy with your inside play.
Oh, much better, especially after the Pittsburgh game. And that got better as the game went on, too. Don't get me wrong there. But Stockton, that game, from the get-go, we establish you're not going inside, knowing that they have a good post player, that if she gets in rhythm, she's going to continue, but then also she could step out and build out that rhythm that she sets on the inside. And so for us to even start the game with that mentality of it's not going to happen, applying ball pressure, being weak side help, that was another thing that sparked us and carried through the whole game, and it was fun to watch.
Abby Hethman comes up with six in the fourth quarter of play, but it's funny how when you look at a book sometimes, you know, these players did these things in the first half, these players did these things in the second half, and so you did kind of spread the wealth, obviously, on Thursday night, and then you have Todd and Hethman, who's just consistent throughout the entire ball game.
Well, I mean, you see that, but then also you can see that we have potential all over the floor, mm-hmm. which is extremely nice to have and know. And that's something that we are going to focus on over Christmas break, is finding all those right clicks. I mean, we got people can come in off the bench, not only guard, but also can shoot the ball. And so, you know, Abby gets it rolling for us early, it seems like, the last few games. And then maybe she doesn't shoot it, you know, maybe as well or as often. But on the defensive end, she is stepping up to the challenge again. Our defense is fun to watch. Our girls are working so hard, and they're getting up and getting after people. And then, you know, like we always say, our defense is our best offense.
After struggling from the perimeter in the first few ball games, you end up with 7 trays on Thursday night against Stockton. Abby Harder picks up a couple of them. We mentioned Grace having 4, and Ty Hethman had 1 as well. Is there a certain number of threes that you kind of shoot for in a range that in a given night, or you just like to see how it plays out?
No, I mean, just take what they give us. I mean, you can't go in saying, okay, we need to hit this many threes, and then that's all we see, and then we get tunnel vision, and we're not able to see the floor play the game. And that's what we want. And so when we play the game and get organized and run an offense and it's correct and successful, we're going to get either, you know, Ty Hethman attacking, which she's really good at, or we're going to get our shooters open on the perimeter. You know, we got Clara Abbey. I mean, even Abby Hethman, our post player, can step out and hit that three. But, you know, we got Grace Bailey, Maddie, Clara, Kurt. We got tons of players that can step out, and whenever Ty creates or we run, you know, the offense successfully, we're able to find those open shots, and that's what we want.
Nevada picks up that 13-point victory. That got them back to within one game of 500. Now trying to hit that 500 mark when they went to Pleasant Hill back on Monday night. And Nevada comes away with the win 58-50 over the Chicks to get back to 500 at 4-4 on the season. And probably after an 0-3 start, that's a good goal to have. Let's just see if we get back to 500 heading into the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to get to that 500 mark, but also, you know, always get those wins in the win column. But you know, that's still wins and losses doesn't describe how good this team is. And I mean, we're always learning, win or lose, we're always learning, always finding things that we can improve on. And the girls are finding things that they can improve on and make our team better. And so it's nice, yeah, especially going into Christmas break, like we talked about the other night, to have that momentum and that win. But it's also nice that our girls are finding things and seeing things that, hey, we can get better at this, so that way we can come back after Christmas break and continue those wins and improving as a group.
It was a good competitive game in the first half against Pleasant Hill. There were 4 ties and 7 lead changes in the first half. You had a 4-point lead at half, 24-20, but then come back out and strong in the third quarter, outscore Pleasant Hill 25-13 in the third quarter. That pretty much put the game away. So, were there some magic at halftime you did there?
Yeah, you could say that. Or, I mean, you know, some people might say, well, we'll kind of, you got to remember that halftime speech. But it's just our girls going in, and we talk about what's going on in the first half and what we're seeing. And they're able to ask questions in that time, which then we're able to adjust. We're able to talk through whatever they're struggling with whatever questions they have that, you know, maybe we're not able to really discuss in a timeout or while the game's going on. And so to make those adjustments at halftime, you see that. And then we come out in the third quarter, and the last couple games, we've really communicated in the locker room and then showed up in the third quarter. And once again, we outscore our first half score in the third quarter alone. And that's always nice to see. But also, I mean, we show glimpse of how well we can play and also shoot the ball.
Well, what were the differences in that third quarter? We saw a couple of big threes from Clara Swearingen, followed by a big two from Abby Harder. Would have been 8-0 run at that point. They really kind of gave you that advantage that you needed to kind of put them at arm's length, and they kind of came in a hurry. So even though it was a full 8 minutes, it seemed like the game got decided in about a minute and a half.
Yeah, and that's whenever we came out and jumped on them on defense, honestly. You know, we started jump trapping, frustrating them a little bit, getting that good rotation, getting a couple steals. And then, you know, even if, you know, they took that little time of possession, which is fine, our girls continued to play. And then we get a stop late in their possession. And then we go down and we get organized. I mean, we can push the basketball and get good things out of it. But also you could see there, we got it and we went. And our girls are good enough that they're able to catch and shoot, you know, early into the possession, which is nice, you know, it could be good and bad, but, you know, it was good for us on Thursday night against Pleasant Hill.
Yeah, and we talk about somebody, obviously we talk about Ty Heffman a lot, and rightfully so, because he's putting up a lot of production. But it seems like on each night you're having somebody else come to the forefront. Thursday night it was Claire Swearingen. Abby Harder had a big third quarter. She had 8 in the ball game, 7 in that third period. So it seems like each night it's somebody else who's stepping up to help Ty out.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're looking for. But also, I mean, Ty can't do it all. You know, and we talked that Ty needs to step into multiple leadership roles, and she's done that, and Ty's done a great job for us this season. But you're also starting to see the click that, you know, okay, so Ty's able to do this, we can feed off that. Or, you know, we're patient and run through an offense, and, you know, Ty might get a penetrating and a kick, or we just run the offense correctly and get those open looks that we're capable of getting.
Plus, another one of those teams that's got a big inside presence, and Allie Bratton, she ended up with 19 points in the game. Big defensive assignment for Abby Heffman most of the night, and you could see Abby was a little bit frustrated with it from time to time because of some calls that maybe went against her. But Bratton's a good player, and she's a tough load for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, scouting, we knew that Bratton was their best player, and we talked about it as a team. But the big thing is how physical she was. And, I mean, she wasn't as physical as the Pittsburgh girl, maybe. But the thing with her is when she shoots make or miss, she's crashing again. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the officials, like you said, didn't really call much the first half. And then she kind of got into foul trouble there in the third quarter. And so, I mean, it's kind of hard to adjust because we talked about it at halftime. Hey, okay, so they're going to let you play a little bit. So make sure we're arm barring, slowing the, you know, players down, especially Bratton, but make sure we got to get a good box out. And so, you know, we tried those things, and unfortunately the officials didn't like some of the stuff that we were doing. And so, you know, they called it against us. But, overall, I mean, we're going to continue to grow. And so, you know, that was one of those games where, Abby tried, and she gave her best, no doubt there. But still, our jump traps were there, ball pressure was there. It was just mainly rebounding and giving them second chances.
Well, and Pleasant Hill, no slouch. They were 5-4 going into that game and had just played an overtime game in their conference tournament a week earlier, or a few days earlier, actually, against Clinton. Did lose in overtime, but still got to their conference tournament championship game. Pleasant Hill obviously having a good year to this point. So with that win, I would assume that you're seeing more and more confidence in your team.
Definitely. And the thing with that win there, I mean, one, Pleasant Hill's improved tremendously from last season. And so for us to go in and play a good team like that, super nice for our girls to get that win and build that confidence. But also, I mean, they're playing teams that we are going to see, especially in districts. They played Harrisonville and they beat Harrisonville. And so now we can kind of start putting into perspective maybe where these other teams that we're going to play against, where they're going to lie and where we lie, and kind of see, okay, maybe we're better than this team, or maybe this team's better than us. And we got to understand what we have to prepare for and get ready for that push in the late of our season.
That win putting Nevada back at 500, as we mentioned, at 4-4 on the season, as now they get ready to take a little bit of a hiatus and will not return to action until Thursday, January the 7th, when they open Big 8 West Division play at Monette against the Lady Cubs. That's a game we'll talk about on our next program on Wednesday, January 6th. But, Blake, this obviously gives you a couple of weeks. You're going to take some time off, obviously, over the next for the holiday. But when you return to practice the first of next week, what are your objectives going into practice? And one just popped in my mind because, again, we saw a little bit in the fourth quarter of the Pleasant Hill game where you almost have to throw a lasso out on your team there sometimes to get them to slow down a little bit. And I'm sure that's something you want to talk about.
Definitely, and that's something we've talked about the last couple of weeks, is what we want to accomplish over Christmas break. And game situations is one of them. When you have a lead, fourth quarter, the clock's your friend, like you said, Mike. And so we have to get better at that, and we're going to. We got a couple things. We got an offense that we're going to install to kind of maybe eat a little bit of clock, but also we don't want to slow it down so much that we get out of a sync. And so, you know, the offense that we're going to install and look at, that's going to be big for us. But also, I mean, like you said, the travelings, we got to do better at that. But, we're going to, and we started this yesterday too in practice, we're going to start really intermixing our squads. And we did that yesterday. We had, varsity players at all three levels. You know, our freshman group, you know, is a solid group, has a lot of potential. And so to have varsity girls at all three levels, all three teams, because we have, different drills that we have, you know, teams of five. And so to intermix some of our freshmen, but then also, you know, put varsity girls at those three levels, it allows for a really good competition. I mean, because you don't get to go, okay, so here's a group of the freshmen, here's a group of the JV. No. I mean, they're all high caliber players. And so for us to do that, it's going to improve, all our skills, running an offense, defense, and that's the stuff that we need to improve on over Christmas break.
Well, then, I asked Sean Grace, like, what's coming up after yours, but we've already recorded by the time I'm talking to you and asked him the same question, and you'll hear the answer later on in the next interview. But with everything that's been going on, even though it's only about a third of the way through your season, with everything that's been having to deal with the COVID-19 protocols, going to different places which have different regulations, Pittsburgh being an example, obviously much more restrictive over in Kansas. Is this a good time for a break to kind of take a breather, even though your team has been playing well and would like to probably keep playing? Is this a good time for a break time just to kind of step back and say, okay, we got through this first part of the season, now we can get kind of regroup and get ready for January?
Yes and no, because we've been talking about this all season. You don't know what's going to happen. And that's scary to think that, you know, we could possibly not have basketball. You know, at this point, it's going to happen, and we're excited for that. But we need this break in a way so that way maybe some of our girls, you know, are starting to wear down. They get that recovery, get that rest that they need. So that way we don't have to worry about any of the COVID issues. You know, we've been super blessed so far this season. Haven't ran into a lot, you know, knock on wood, whatever we need to continue, having that luck of not having any issues with that. But like you brought up the Pittsburgh game, you know, super strict in Kansas, and you could tell in the atmosphere too. And that's something that we've talked about as a group. Whenever the atmosphere maybe is dead or we're not allowed, you know, as many fans in that other teams allow, we have to build that ourselves. And so you've seen that the last couple games too against Stockton and P-Hill, our bench is bringing that energy, and that's great to have, that our girls aren't being selfish. You know, they want our success as a group as bad as anyone. And so they'll do whatever they have to. And you see that in our bench, but that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. And so yes and no, but I think overall a break's always needed to get, you know, to recharge the batteries, get ready to go and then come back, you know, ready to finish out the long haul of our season.
Yeah, it's funny because even in the places where it's less restrictive, well, you went to the Four States Challenge to watch last Saturday, and you know, even in those games where there hasn't been a restriction in tennis, but everybody's asked to mask up, it's still much more muted in gymnasiums right now. There's just not that normal level of excitement that we're accustomed to right now in high school basketball gyms.
Yeah, and I mean,
the play's good, but the crowd's
the play's
different.
Good, yeah.
People
but
people are more muted in the seats right now.
Yeah, and it's tough. I mean, even, you know, we're setting up there and we're saying, you know, good job and stuff like that. And you got your mask on and, you know, you want to encourage but also, I mean, it's hard because you have to raise your voice and then you don't want to be like, okay, well, now I'm a rude, obnoxious fan. And so I feel like maybe other people feel like that too. But I mean, if a good play happens, you gotta applaud that, and mask or no mask. And you know, hopefully, you know, people are wearing masks in the stands like they're supposed to, but bring that energy. And you know, we love it. Our girls love it. And so if something good's happening, let it out.
Well, we did hear the oohs and ahs with Mark Mitchell the other day at Bishop Mies, though.
Yeah, we did. I mean, that very, very blessed player and fun to watch.
Well, we look forward to getting things back underway. Before we depart, get to the holiday break, it was a topic that we didn't talk about last week. I probably should have because the information came out 2 weeks ago, but it just kind of got away from me. And you kind of alluded to it. The new district alignment has come out now for this year. That was actually released on December 11th. A lot of changes, we think, just for this year, but we'll see it going forward. Nevada ends up in Class 5 in a four-team district with Harrisonville, Carroll Junction, and Webb City. But the big change is the district format, where they're going to the football format, which you obviously, Blake, mm-hmm. are familiar with, being an assistant football coach, where no district host this year. The higher seed will play at home, and which will make it interesting for scouting this year during the district tournament. But I guess just your feelings, number one, on getting bumped up to Class 5, and number two, about the new format where there will, and even if you get out of districts, one of the two teams playing will be a host team. No more designated sites, not for this year anyway. They want a member school to host it. So what are your thoughts about the at least for this year, the new district format, and where you ended up in Class 5, and I can't remember the district number off the top of my head. I think it's District 12, but a four-team district.
Yeah, I mean, to get bumped up, the teams are going to probably be a little better than in Class 4, just because they have more students to pull from. But it doesn't matter. And I tell our girls, we'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. And so to have that mindset, we got to continue that on. But I think I'm happy. I'm happy with our districts. We played Carroll Junction, lost in overtime by one. So we know, what they have. Pea Hill beat Harrisonville. Webb City's kind of starting to figure it out a little bit, but hopefully we get the opportunity to play them in the Frontenac tournament and kind of see what they have to offer and where we rank with them. But I would love for us to be able to try. I mean, we want to get that one seed, but the two seed in our district, that'd be a huge success for us to host that first round and then go down to Carroll Junction more than likely and play them at their place again. I mean, I want it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know our girls, we want revenge, and so we want to be ready for that opportunity, but we got to get work done the remainder of our season before districts, so that way when we hit districts, it's in our favor. The traveling, there's going to be good Class 5 schools, and so good and bad, because if you get out of districts, then you probably will be traveling, which mm-hmm. is fine. It seems like our season is mainly on the road this year anyway, so hopefully by the end of it, we'll be able to figure it out and show up in any gym and be able to continue to shoot and play as hard as we have been. To see how this is going to play out, I know it's been, fun for us to be in the same area as our boys. And so, to have a girls' game before a boys' game and the gym packed and that energy, mm-hmm. don't get to see that this year, mm-hmm. Unfortunately. And so that would have been nice to have, so that way, if so, we're both playing at the same time and we get a packed house.
Yeah, and it's a real shame that the only real shame of it is that geographically, Nevada may have had a very good chance at actually hosting the district tournament with Harrisonville to the north and Webb and Carroll to the south. So, unfortunately, I have to have that that higher seed now to get a home game, but it's interesting to see how much of a factor home field advantage is, or home court advantage is, because if we're still under attendance restrictions, or maybe by the early March, hopefully it's been loosened up a little bit, mm-hmm. but home court advantage may not be as cracked up as big a deal as it has been in the past.
For the fan-wise, I get what – I can understand what you're saying. But, you always shoot better on your home court.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, that would be nice to have that home court present just for our players and shooting's sake. Sorry. Even as a home game, you're still going to have a little bit better turnout than as we travel because of all the restriction. And so it'll be interesting. But, like I said – our girls are ready to play, and we'll go and play anyone, and we're ready for that.
Well, we're going to talk more about that, of course, when we get towards the month of February. But there are still some key matchups coming up. You already mentioned the one Carroll Junction game. Head-to-head matchups are going to be important down the road. We don't play Webb in the regular season. Harrisonville date remains to be seen whether or not it's going to be rescheduled or not. So you do have the one head-to-head against Carroll Junction. Frontenac tournament, I guess you could see Webb City there.
Yeah, we could. I'm not worried about seeing them there. Mm-hmm. Because even if we see them there and it doesn't turn out like we want it to, we can learn from that, and we can go down to Webb or we can go down to Carl, wherever, and prepare for them from the game that we've played and those takeaways. And so that way, whenever we step on the floor, we know, okay, you know, like Carl Junch and the Burger Girl is going to do this. Webb City, you know, they got two really good guards that are looking to do this. And so, you know, you take that film, win or lose, and we can apply it for the next time we see them.
All right, we'll look forward to it. We're going to talk more about that later on. Right now, your focus is going to turn to the Big 8 West Division, which, as we've talked about, is wide open, and that'll start with Monette on January the 7th, and I'm sure anxious to get to that part of your schedule.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about it now for a few weeks, and like you said, it's wide open. I mean, it's anybody's game, and so if it's open for anybody, why not us? Why not us step in and show the Big 8 West, hey, you know, we've won this for the last couple of years, and there's a reason why, and we know as a team what we want to accomplish, but also, I mean, we're looking to try to outwork anybody we play against. And so to start big play, our Big 8 play, when we return from Christmas break, being able to apply the things that we are going to work on during Christmas break, I'm excited, and I know our girls are going to be excited too.
Well, with that, we'll say happy holidays, enjoy the break, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in 2 weeks on January the 6th, and enjoy the holidays.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike.
That's Nevada Lady Tigerhead basketball coach Blake Howarth. When we come back, we'll turn to boys basketball. Head coach Sean Gray joins us next on Tiger Talk on Double K Country.
Where you get your deal, Nevada Auto Mall. Where you get your deal on a new or pre-owned car. Over 15 years of serving you in our community. You're more than a customer, you're family. Where you get your deal, Nevada Auto Mall. Where you get your deal.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas at 54 Feet and See.
Fresh trees and wreaths are on the way.
Come see us to get some fresh Christmas greens that will make your house look and smell great. Or grab a customized gift to take to someone else's house.
Join the holiday fun at 54 Feed and Seed, East Highway 54 in Nevada.
It's Christmas time at 54 Feed and Seed. Come and see us.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. For details, contact your American Family Insurance agent, Jan Tate. Call 417-667-2035 or stop by 906 North Osage Boulevard in Nevada today.
The Plumbing Shop in Nevada would like to announce that they are your Navien hot water dealer. Navien systems offer more output for the money, lower installation costs, and lower operating costs for the homeowner. The Plumbing Shop also specializes in mostly commercial and new home builds. For a new Navien system in your commercial property or residential home, contact the Plumbing Shop at 417-667-1319, keeping you out of hot water by keeping you in hot water.
Hey, welcome back to Tiger Talk. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday night, this last Wednesday before Christmas. Again, a reminder, we'll be taking next week off on the 30th of December and then come back the first Wednesday of January for the resumption of the Tiger Talk programs, which will be the sixth day of January, the day before the Comiskey Classic gets underway for the Nevada Tigers. But they also have a game prior to that on the 4th of January at Clinton. We'll talk about that here in just a bit with Nevada Tiger head coach Sean Gray, who joins us now. And Sean, how are you? Enjoying the time off now?
Yeah, we are, Mike. We've had a good couple of days of practice to start the break, and now our actual break away from just about everything is started. And yeah, enjoying time with the family. And my wife's she's roped me into doing some shopping today, so just looking forward to that, as you can imagine.
Well, I guess on her side, you got some golf in yesterday.
Monday and Tuesday got some golf in. So yeah, it's her term. She said my time is her time today. So.
There you go.
Could be worse.
Well, let's talk about some basketball. Not a lot of activity on the basketball court over the last week since we last visited, but you had one game last week. That was at the Four States Challenge down at Webb City, playing last Saturday afternoon against the Stags. Bishop Miege, a high-profile program out of Shawnee Mission, Kansas. 78 to 36, rather, was the final. Bishop Miege getting the victory. And, you know, that, I guess in all honesty, that was not a big surprise for them to get that kind of victory. But I know your objective going into that ball game was to play hard, play tough, have some good times. And did you get all that done?
We did. We really came out and competed. Our guys didn't shy away from the challenge, and we felt like gave it a valiant effort is how you would describe it. And you can watch film and you can look at things and think, oh, we could have done this a little better and that a little better. But all in all, effort was good, attitude was good, played together, did a lot of good things, and it was a good overall experience for our guys.
Well, for those who didn't see it or weren't there or didn't watch on the Venmo TV or here on radio, what was the experience like when you've played good basketball teams? Certainly no doubt about that. You know, if you played the Grandviews, the Ruskins, other good basketball teams over the years, but this is at another level. What's it like to play a team that is good at all five spots with some pretty elite talent?
Yeah, my good at six or seven spots, it's interesting. It's not like you said, not something you get to see all the time. And you know, you're right, we play teams that have a player who's a collegiate level player or maybe a couple guys that can play at the collegiate level. I mean, that team, I think you've got one guy who's a blue chip, so to speak, going to be a big time guy. You've got another guy that's probably also a Power Five Division One guy. And then the guards are really good and really solid, and they'd be the best guard on, you know, half or three fourths of the teams that we see in a given year. So it's you can't help off. Every single person can hurt you in a variety of ways, and you're just it's really just a team full of all conference, all state type players. And Coach Todd and I were talking about, you know, how many small college teams would that team probably beat? You know, how many. Either community college or NAIA type schools in the area would that team be better than? And that's not something you see all the time. And it was eye opening just to see that much talent on the floor at once.
And then you got a guy who comes off the bench. He's 7'2". Granted, he's not the most athletic person you're ever going to see, but still 7'2" is 7'2", and that's hard to defend.
Gosh, 7'2" and big, thick, wide, and had pretty good hands. And I mean, you look at him and you think if he were a little quicker, a little more explosive, he'd be a big time player, but. Yeah, I mean, how many teams would just love to have a guy like that to put in the middle of their defense and to post up, and to have that guy coming off the bench is a pretty big luxury, and it just kind of points to how much talent they've got.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about your team for a bit in that game, because you did get off to a good start. You went toe-to-toe with them there for a while, as you said in the postgame, forced a couple of timeouts out of them so that they could retool, and then they got that done. But still, you knew you had to shoot the three-pointer well. You did. Your first 18 points coming from beyond the arc.
With the size that they had and athleticism, and then also their ability to guard you off the bounce, we knew that we'd have to make some threes, and did it early. It's tough to sustain that. I mean, I think, like you said, our first 18 points. I mean, I think in order to compete with a team like that, you've got to make, you know, probably more than 15 threes, maybe close to 20 threes if you want to have a chance at the end. And that's like a program record type night. But it was fun to see us shoot it well early. It was fun to see Lane McNeely get going. He's been a guy that's been a little cold lately, and we know he's a great shooter and good to see him start off hot, and it was fun to come out and compete with them early on.
They had Christian Bowen-Webb, who ends up with 20 points in the ball game. He had it going from the three-point line. We didn't really talk much about him. Was he a known quantity, or did he just have a good day?
Probably, I think on most scouting reports, kind of the fourth guy. You know, they're two bigs, get a lot of attention. The point guard number three gets a lot of attention.
Harrison brought us.
Yep. But Webb's just, he's a shooter, but man, made some tough ones, made them from deep, smooth with the ball as well. And, interacting with him a little bit during the game, seemed to be a leader of the team, be a good team chemistry guy as well. So anytime that's your fourth or fifth best player, you're pretty darn good.
A lot of attention, obviously, on Mark Mitchell, the blue trip five-star prospect you were talking about, and still just a junior. In fact, that team's loaded with juniors. They're gonna be around for another year. But a lot of talk about Mark Mitchell going into that game. What were your impressions of him? He didn't really have a huge ball game, but still you could certainly see the glimpses of why he is billed the way he is.
Goodness. That combination of size and speed, and then I alluded to this, I think, in the pregame. Mm-hmm. When you watch it, you can't tell if he's left or right-handed until he shoots a jumper. Just so good attacking with both hands, so good finishing with both hands. And then you hear the phrase jump out of the gym, but then you combine that with someone that's 6'8", with about a 7'1" wingspan. You know, we all got to witness a guy like Clay Gaiman, who is for my money, one of the very best high school basketball players to come out of this area in a long, long time. And then you don't realize that there's even more athleticism out there than that, even with even more size mm-hmm. combined. And for those that haven't watched an NBA game, I think sometimes people watch an NBA game and they think, well, those guys aren't moving very hard. They're not moving very fast. When you're that big and that long, and one or two steps can take you a long ways. And to have a front row seat was pretty fun to watch him work.
When you go back, when your team goes back and looks at the film, I'm sure you've already done that. But when you play a team of that level, that ability, does your team learn things from them that they can take forward themselves?
You do, and you have to find the balance between how much of what they accomplish is due to execution and skill, how much of it is due to just an overwhelming height, size, speed advantage as well, to where things are going to be difficult to overcome. But, you know, I love the way that they push the ball in transition, and they're always looking for the next guy to throw it ahead to. I think that's one of the biggest strengths of their team. And then when you've got 6'8", 6'7", run into the rim and you push it in transition, you know, you're really, really hard to stop.
Well, your team had Logan Applegate led the way with 18 points. He's used to seeing that probably that kind of talent in his offseason basketball and the AAU ranks and things like that, but had a pretty good day with 18 points.
He did, and he showed that he's quick enough to beat guys like that to the basket, created for his teammates as he always does, and again, flashed that deep shooting range that he has. So just kind of another day at the office for Logan, and I don't think that we could see a team that would really surprise him.
Yeah, and you mentioned Lane McNeely. Here's a guy that has been trying to get it going from the 3-point line, and hopefully that success he had will propel him to the after Christmas schedule.
Yeah, I think it will. And then we talked in practice about, you know, if we want to win the biggest games on our schedule, win a Big Eight, win a district. You know, Applegate, Logan, Lane, those are guys that we're going to need big shots from. They're going to be the guys that take most of our shots. We also need to get Ben going inside, you know, and then just our role players chip in that 6 and 8. But no doubt that Lane's a 2-3-4 3-point basket a night guy for us, and we look for that to spark him and him to just keep that rolling.
Well, in a game where everybody in uniform, other than Case Anderson, who was in uniform, but not ready to play yet, but everybody in uniform gets some action in, and a day like that, that's probably a good thing for you.
It is, and it's fun. You hear guys talk about the glory days back when they played against this guy or that guy. This will be one for those 11 guys that got in. I think that there will be one or if not two or three guys from that game that they can – you know, a couple years, you know, collegiately say, well, I played against that guy, and then you never know what could happen after that. So it was fun. Case is a guy that we're excited to get back as well. You mentioned him, Mike. Cleared to go, so to speak, but just not quite ready for that 100% live game action. Had a good 2 days of practice this week, and try to get him going next week so that when we come back from the break, he's ready to get in there and battle for us.
So at this point, you expect him to be full go on January 4th?
We expect him to be able to play. I think when he's a full go, so to speak, or 100%, I think is yet to be seen. But our hope is that January 4th he's able to get into the game, and we're just going to kind of take it from there.
All right, we'll look forward to that. And one other game that was of interest to you was the Mount Vernon and East Newton ball game. You were there to watch that, and it goes into overtime. Two Big Eight opponents, one out of the East and Mount Vernon, one out of the West and East Newton, who it figures that you'll be battling with for the West Division crown. So, and it goes to overtime. Mount Vernon ends up winning it. I think East Newton may have ran out of gas a little bit in that overtime. They only played six players. But what did you think of that ball game?
Two really good teams. Two teams that have some senior leadership. East Newton just returns everyone from last year. I think, four or five seniors, one junior in that mix. And they're a tough ball club. They're a ball club that most of those guys, four or five of them, have been starting since their sophomore year. They're just grinders. They've got kind of a blue-collar mentality. And then Mount Vernon, led by Mason Bailey, just never goes away. They keep coming at you, keep coming at you. And that game could have went either way. It was a fun one to watch. And we're going to have to be very sharp at both ends of the floor if we're going to be able to beat an East Newton team that, lucky for us, we get at home. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge we're really excited for, especially the way things went last year.
Oh, the schedule from me, I think it's around mid-January or so?
It's the week after the Kaminsky.
So right, okay, we have mid-January, yeah.
I think Lamar that Tuesday, yes, and then East Newton that Friday. So that's a big week for us.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that coming up after the holiday break. Speaking of which, the holiday break now is upon the Nevada Tigers. As you mentioned, you practice a couple of days. Now the players are off until after Christmas. So when you come back, what are your prerogatives?
So we want to rest over this break. We talk to our guys, enjoy this time off. Recharge the batteries, and then when we come back Monday after Christmas, it's going to be nose to the grindstone, Mike. It's going to be a lot of sharpening things at the offensive end, and we were able to do a lot of drill work these last 2 days, and then the drill work, we'll still do some of that, but it's going to have to be a lot of our varsity running offense, and then if we make mistakes, even if they're good enough to get us by who we're going against in practice, we're going to have to hold ourselves to a higher standard because, you know, with COVID, it's not a situation where you get to have a lot of open gyms against alumni and things like that. So the bar needs to be raised a little bit, I think, as far as our execution, how hard we are to guard on the offensive end. That's where the emphasis is going to come. And then defensively, just being locked down, making our opponent take tough shots. So we talked about that some before we left for break. Just raising our expectations in practice, making sure our execution is where it needs to be to achieve the goals that we want to have. So we're really excited to get to work, and this is always a time when we see our program, we see our teams take a step and get better. We have no doubt that's what will happen with this group as well.
Yeah, I forgot about all the alumni because that's really been a hallmark of your program during the holiday break for a lot of former players to come back, and that won't be possible this time. So, again, just another casualty of what we're going through right now.
It is. That's really one of the top things in our program, one of the most special things, a little bit over Thanksgiving, but especially over Christmas break. Those guys that have played in the program 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years previously, they start strolling in the middle or end of practice to get kind of warmed up and loosened up, and then open gym after practice is over where those guys get to compete against guys who maybe they played with as underclassmen or watched as middle schoolers, and it's always a really fun, special thing for us. So we hate that it's not taking place, but we'll look forward to it happening next year, fingers crossed.
When you come back to the schedule, or get back into the schedule, that'll occur just after the first of the year. Right back at it on Monday, January the 4th, with a trip to Clinton to take on the Cardinals, a team that's off to a 3-3 start. Had really good success against, I was just looking here real quickly, 10 consecutive wins against the Clinton Cardinals, going all the way back to, let's see, the last loss was in 2014. So, and we've seen them multiple times in some seasons, but 2015, since then, a 10-game winning streak against the Cardinals. Even though they've had some good basketball teams along the way. This year, 3-3, took fifth in their conference tournament and the MRVC last week. So I don't know how far ahead you look to see if you look much at the Cardinals yet, but tell us what you know about Clinton.
It's a team, Mike, that wants to get a lot of three balls up. In the two films I've seen, shoot a lot of three-pointers, and when those things are falling, they're competitive against people. What we've been able to do against them that I think has led to some success for us is take them out of their game. You know, they've been able to get out in transition and get a lot of threes up. We've been able to take the three-point line away in recent years, take the transition game away in recent years, and force some tough shots. And then we've been able to flip the script. When they've settled for tough shots, that's fed into our transition game as well. So what we have to avoid, Mike, is, you know, you talk about 10 straight wins, 2014, dating back to these guys can't think, this is Clinton, we always beat Clinton. Mm-hmm. Because that's when you find yourself a stumbling block. So our biggest opponent each and every night is ourselves. If we show up and we play to our potential, if we achieve the goals we have for us, we feel like this is a game that we can have a lot of success in.
They've given up an average of 70 points a ball game. Now, that's a little disclaimer there. They gave up 103 to Center and 90 to Hogan Prep Academy. Did give up 74 to Sherwood and a one-point loss. So defensively, what have you seen out of the Cardinals? Because they have given up a lot of points. Talent, the opposition may be part of that, but still it's a lot of points, especially when you give up 74 to Sherwood.
Yeah, that's twofold, Mike. It's they want to play fast. They want to shoot a lot of threes. And they don't care if their opponent plays fast either because that's just the style of play that they want. Then you look at a team like Center and a team like Hogan Prep that loves to pressure, loves to trap. Against that elite athleticism, they've had some ball security issues, some turnovers that have led to that high scoring margin as well. So it's probably a game where we try to speed them up as far as full court pressure goes to see how they handle it. And then also, I think, other teams have had success in transition against them. That will be an area that we try to exploit as well.
Well, those game coming up in about just over a week and a half from now when Nevada gets back to it on Monday, January the 4th at Clinton. That'll be a triple header that day with a freshman game at 4:30 followed by the JV and varsity. That will be at Clinton. Seems like I'm always at Clinton for some reason. I don't know. It's because of the tournament. We used to play both tournaments up there, boys and girls. Maybe that seems like why. But just doesn't seem like they come down here much.
Shoot, and for a couple years, the district tournament was there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there was a year in there, Mike, when I teased Jason Abner, their AD, that we played as many games in Clinton's gym as we did in Wynn Gymnasium with districts, the tournament, playing at Clinton. I think it equaled out. So,
yeah. That year you're talking about, in fact, I told him the same thing. I needed an apartment up there because I literally, between the boys and girls, I literally did more games in Clinton than I did in Nevada that year.
Luckily, they've got a nice facility and they're pretty hospitable up there. Thank goodness.
Yeah, we don't mind going there. It's a nice place to go. But that'll be on Monday, January the 4th at Clinton. We'll look forward to that matchup and look forward to talking about it 2 weeks from tonight on Wednesday, January 6th. Final thing is you're into this break now. I'm trying to think of the way to put this, but with everything that's been going on, dealing with all the protocols from place to place, where it can be different from in different places, you've pretty much held the same standard every time you go in. But it's different in Kansas than it is in Missouri and things like that. Is this a good time for a break? I don't know about your team. I mean, normally when I get this time of the year, I think, okay, I'm only a third of the way through the schedule, but I was ready for this break just because of all the stuff that we're dealing with, especially when we're on the road. Is this the same way? Is this a good time for a break right now?
It absolutely is, Mike. And talking to some fellow coaches and teachers at Nevada High School as we entered the Christmas break, there's just been more put on people's plate. And I think people are just ready for a little recharge, a little reset. You throw in the fact for our guys that how physically taxing a season can be, basketball season, as long a season as there is. And it's just a really good timing, really, really good for us. And hopefully everyone comes back refreshed, recharged, and ready to attack the new year.
One thing I want to finish off with, too, I meant to talk about this last week, and it got away from me, so I want to touch on that tonight. The Missouri State High School Activities Association came out with the revised method of doing postseason play this year. There will be no district hosts this year. Smaller districts. There's only 14 districts. Nevada did get bumped up to Class 5 this year with Webb City, Carl Junction, and Harrisonville. But along with that, they're going to go to the football format where the higher seed will host that district game. I'm assuming this is just a one-year thing. But what are your thoughts on that? Number one, your district, and number two, with the new way they're going to do things where one of the schools is going to be hosting all the way through the playoffs, at least until the Final Four.
It's interesting, Mike. We knew with basketball switching to 6 classes this year that there was a chance we'd move up into Class 5. And we went from being I think, very middle-of-the-pack Class 4 school as far as enrollment goes to, I haven't looked at the numbers, Mike, but it has to be bottom 10 or 15% as far as enrollment in Class 5. But, you know, that's just part of it. Someone has to be one of the bigger schools. Someone has to be one of the smaller schools. We've been north for so long with some of that elite talent in the Kansas City area that I think it's just a breath of fresh air to go a different direction. Now, Webb City has a really good ball club. I think I read this morning that they're off to their best start in 5 or 6 years. Watched them play Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was a little bit shorthanded, but Webb City just had their way with them on Saturday. A Harrisonville team that is also off to one of their better starts in recent years. Coach Langers, I think is how you say that. His son is – KC Prep Hoops posted leading scores in the Kansas City area. He's on the top 10 list. We're in a district with two really good ball clubs, and I'm sure Carl Junction will be better at the end of the season than they were early. So it's nice to have changed districts. I think some of our fans have – this is something we've been looking forward to.
Although Ruskin hasn't won a game yet.
Yeah, and Ruskin and Grandview are two of the better teams in the area that don't have very good records. But Warrensburg is really, really good, and if you go north, I think you run under them as well. So Bolivar, really good if you go that way. So really, no matter where we went, I think it was going to be a challenge. Some people think four-team district, you're going to get a break. Well, if you take a six- or an eight-team district, really, there's probably two, maybe three teams every year that have a chance to win that. You go to a four-team district, you still are going to have to win a couple games. You're going to have to win a big game to win that district. So I don't know that it gets any easier going from six to four. I know Webb City and Harrisonville are really good, so we're going to have our work cut out for us. This is a year when, with the traditional format, Mike, with a host, geographically it would look like we would be the logical choice. Throw in the fact that we haven't hosted in a really long time, and we've got a group of seniors that, I think we'd love to host a district with. You've just got to go out and win, and we're going to have a chance to probably play Webb City twice in January. And I think if you win both those games, you just seal the deal on a one seed. If you split, it's going to come down to some other things. And if you lose both of them, you're looking at the two or the three seeds. So if we want to host a home district playoff game, that's completely within our control in the month of January, and we're gonna look to go take advantage of that.
Yep, a lot of new things, and that's one of them. A whole different district format, at least for this year. Then I guess the plan is, the next season, go back to the traditional host site. I mean, they haven't really said, but at any rate, they're leaving a lot of things. They tend to leave a lot of things in the dark in Columbia, but at any rate, it's going to be interesting. It'll be as you said. Only a four, that's going to be the weird, when I first looked at it, only four-team district. Going to six classes is a part of that, but I also assume that there's probably some schools, especially in the metros, that have foregone their seasons at this point.
I have not, with the meat of the season being upon us, Mike, I have not got to delve real deep into it as far as how many total teams are competing this year as opposed to last year, but I think St. Louis especially, maybe Kansas City a little bit, you run into some teams that have foregone their season, and then at the bigger classes, they try to keep those a little bit smaller than like class 1, 2, and 3. I haven't crunched the numbers, but it's interesting for sure. And then, like you said, I think it'll probably be a see how it goes approach. And then at the spring and the summer meetings, they'll probably evaluate if they want to go a different direction or just keep things the same.
All right. Well, look forward to it. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to it, which will be coming up towards the end of February, 1st of March. In the meantime, Sean, thank you for the time. Merry Christmas to you and your family. I'm sure it's fun in your household now with two little ones for Christmas, so enjoy that.
It is. This is Jackson's two now, and he's really starting to figure things out. So it's a fun time. We're looking forward to enjoying it. And Merry Christmas to you guys as well, and to everyone out there that listens to and supports the Nevada Tigers.
All right. Appreciate it. Stay safe. We'll see you January 4th.
Thanks, Mike.
Tiger head coach Sean Gray. We come back. It'll be wrestling on the agenda with head coach David Hawks. Andrew Pitkin talks to him after this timeout on Tiger Talk.
Hi, it's Sabrina.
And Kyla.
Here to say at Great Southern Bank, we're here for you.
Whatever you need, affordable options for life or smart ideas for business, you can count on us.
Because we're not just bankers, we're your neighbors.
We can help you turn challenges into opportunities with practical solutions and guidance every step of the way.
Because that's what neighbors do.
Great Southern Bank, member FDIC.
The holidays are upon us, and it might be time to think about visiting Sutherland's home base of Nevada for those great gift-giving ideas. With all sorts of products, from power tools to outdoor items to the home and garage products and brands everyone on your list wants. Plus, always remember, Sutherland's home base is the right place to find what you need, no matter what the temperature is. Great products, great people, low prices. Sutherland's home base, 2101 East Austin, Nevada, ready for your holiday shopping.
Ferry Funeral Home is proud to have served the Nevada and surrounding area since 1925 and continues to be locally owned and family run. Ferry Funeral Home is also a proud supporter of the area's youth and Nevada High School athletics. When times are hard and you need a kind hand with a familiar face, count on Ferry Funeral Home for the sincerity your family deserves. Ferry Funeral Home, three generations finding a better way to help. 301 South Washington in Nevada. Find them fast in names and numbers.
The holidays are traditionally spent sitting around and relaxing by warm fire.
Unless you're a true grit, jamming down in the outdoors kind of person. If that's you, then you need to get to El Dorado Cycle and Outdoor Equipment and check out their line of SSR Motorsports. Like 70cc pit bikes, $800 out the door cash price. 110cc pit bikes, $900 out the door cash price. 125cc pit bikes, $1,100 out the door cash price. Also check out Trailmaster Mid XRXR go-karts. Electric start with reverse, $1,900 out the door cash price. At El Dorado Cycle and Outdoor Equipment, 3270 South Highway 32 in El Dorado Springs. Your authorized sales and service dealer for Cat.
Andrew Pitkin here on KNEM KNMO on your Nevada Tiger Talk program, now with David Hawks, as he's the head coach of the Nevada wrestling teams. And David, thanks for coming on in.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, no problem, and thanks for coming in on some of your time off as well. How's your break getting started?
It's going good so far. You know, we get a couple days of practice here, and then we really get a few days off to kind of rest up and relax some.
Absolutely. And then just looking at over this last week and what your teams have been able to do, we'll start with the boys' side. How have things been going?
Pretty good. We traveled down to Diamond last Saturday. It was kind of a tournament that their coach put together. We both lost our traditional tournament that we go to. It's a really big holiday tournament. But he was able to get some teams together and have a really good tournament. You know, it works out really good when you can go down there and get several wins. But, you know, overall, just the competition was good, something that we needed to see.
Well, and like you talk about several wins, you guys won the tournament as well, and that was something that last week on this program you said that was the goal. And so to see your team accomplish that goal, how does it feel?
Yeah, it's really good. You know, I certainly know that some of the teams down there had some issues with numbers and kids that were out for injuries or various things. But we definitely went down and took care of business. We were fortunate that we had almost a full lineup that we were able to take down there. So that helps put us in the driver's seat from the get-go. And then our kids just kind of took advantage of that and were able to rattle off some wins.
Well, I'll just say this. You know, I've told you I'm still learning about wrestling quite a bit. And so seeing four out of the five matchups, though, your team scoring over 50 points, is that kind of where you want to be anytime you're over 50? That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we score points by pinning people, and that's kind of what we want to do. Anytime we get an opportunity to get somebody on their back and finish a match, that's what we have to do. You know, several times throughout the week, or throughout the weekend, we were losing in matches and we're able to get kids on their back and get some big pins that helped change the outlook of the team scores.
So what do you think? I mean, you mentioned the pins. What else about the tournament was big for your team?
Just the mat time, really. Like I said, a lot of these big holiday tournaments have been canceled. So, you know, several schools were without a place to wrestle at this weekend. So very fortunate that Coach Gray at Diamond was able to get this tournament together and let us come down and wrestle.
And the girls wrestling team as well got to match up on a few. What were some of the highlights for them?
Yeah, so the way the girls were a little bit different. Those numbers were really low this weekend. We actually only took three out of our five girls down there. But we were just able to get kind of matchups with the other teams just kind of randomly throughout the day. But it was good. You know, they got some more mat time in, which is really what you need whenever you're, you know, kind of new to the sport and just learning things. Just being able to get out there and wrestle and kind of feel different positions is what we need. So that was a success in that book.
Well, for both teams, you've got some practice time that you're doing this week here, and then you'll be taking a lengthy break as mm-hmm. well. And so in practice, not necessarily preparing for any specific matches, what have been the focus?
We certainly saw a few positions this weekend of things that we need to improve on. So, you know, throughout the first part of this week, we're just going to take time, kind of look back and even beyond this past Saturday, looking back throughout the course of the season so far. What are some of the things that we need to do? Different positions on top that we can improve from. And even, you know, more specifically, probably on bottom, things that we can do to get away. Because I feel like if we can get away, we're going to be in good shape. A lot of times we get stuck underneath and we get in trouble there.
And so just taking a look, too, at the break, and I know it's coming up, and you haven't necessarily had that that last talk with the team of what they need to do over break, but do you have a couple things in mind for what you might say?
Yeah, you know, we've kind of been preaching this all the way throughout the season thus far, is we just have to be smart, you know, with what we do outside of the wrestling room, who we're around, just being cautious with what we're doing, you know, especially, you know, with the way things are going now and close contact quarantines. And we just don't want to get in a situation where we're out doing something and end up being around somebody that maybe has a positive COVID test, and then we have to quarantine ourselves for 14 days because of that. So, you know, it's unfortunate that's kind of the situation we're in right now, but that's, as coaches, we have to do the same thing. We got to be cautious with you know, what we're doing outside of the practice room. So it definitely adds a little kind of a wrinkle to the break that we usually get, but you know, I think that's something that's important that we need to do.
How would you say the wrestlers have handled some of those protocols as well? I know you said at the beginning that it was kind of a hard thing for them to adjust to, but how are they doing now about halfway through the season, yeah, something like that?
They're doing well. You know, we've had a few individuals that have been put out for whatever reason, but we've had, you know, we've got a few guys that are just ready to go, and they can step in to fill one or two different spots in a lineup, depending on weight classes. And so that we've had those guys that would typically be backups, they're able to come in and fill the shoes really well. So that's it's always good to see when we can start getting a little bit more depth in the lineup.
Speaking with David Hawks, he's the head wrestling coach at Nevada High School, and just wondering about the health of the team right now. Where is that at?
We're definitely ready for a few days off, I think.
Sure.
You know, this Friday or this Saturday, we had, you know, five matches for a lot of kids, and even going into Saturday, some of them were kind of banged up going into that. So, you know, once we get through these practices this week, we will encourage them to, kind of lick their wounds and, get ready to go for the following week.
Well, sounds good. Now we'll switch into the playoffs and how things are changing with that for some winter sports activities. Wrestling is involved in that, and Misha has put out a press release. What exactly, to your knowledge, David, does that talk about?
Yeah, it just kind of lengthens the postseason. It's actually what it used to be maybe 15 years ago or so. It was always kind of a two-step process to qualify for the state tournament. Had your smaller district tournament that combined with another district to make a sectional tournament, and then the top four would qualify for the state tournament. They've actually reduced that number this year to the top three out of each section. So it definitely makes it a little bit more challenging to get to the state tournament. But I think, you know, having the 2-week process will help us with our district tournament. You know, I think maybe we can, I think we have a really good chance to compete at our district tournament and do well there.
And of course, I know you're not associated with Misha really in any way other than the fact that you're a coach, but do you know why they might have gone to this change this year?
I think, you know, they're just trying to reduce crowds. So instead of shoving 16 teams in a gym for what used to be the district, now we've split that up. So we've only got 8 teams, in 2 gyms. So it makes smaller crowds, and then I think at the state tournament, actually, it's just going to be our class only. So we traditionally have done all 4 wrestling classes in one facility, and then this year we're just going to be Class 2 by itself, and they're looking for venues, I think, to try to figure out where that's going to be, and they'll keep us updated on that.
You mentioned too, David, just that you feel that a couple answers ago that you feel like you match up well with some of the district opponents that you might see, and so what makes you have that confidence?
Yeah, well, I mean, we saw everyone except one team, they were all at the Pleasant Hill tournament. And, you know, Pleasant Hill was kind of the leader there. They were definitely kind of kept everyone at arm's length. So we'll look to close the gap on that and then spread the gap between the other teams that were all at Pleasant Hill and will be at the district tournament.
In your opinion, what are a couple things that you'll have to do to bridge that gap with Pleasant Hill?
I think There's a lot. We got a lot of work to do for sure, but I guess first and foremost, staying in good position. I think a lot of times we try to do too much, and Pleasant Hill's a pretty disciplined team. They don't allow themselves to fall out of position, and they take advantage of others when they do. So that's just things that we need to do, and not just for Pleasant Hill. We need to do that for every team we wrestle.
All right, David. Well, I hope you have yourself a good holidays. I know we said that last week. We didn't think we'd talk this week, but good to see you again.
Yeah, thank you. You have a good holiday as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's David Hawks. He's the head wrestling coach over at Nevada High School right here on your Tiger Talk program. When we come back, Mike Harbit will wrap things up.
Where you get your deal, Nevada Auto Mall. Where you get your deal on a new or pre-owned car. Over 15 years of serving you in our community. You're more than a customer, you're family. Where you get your deal, Nevada Auto Mall. Where you get your deal.
Buzz's Barbecue and Steakhouse is more than just barbecue. They offer a full menu in-house and can customize limited menus catered specifically to your needs. They are open for an incredible dining experience and will do curbside orders as well. All servers are wearing masks and all employees are going the extra mile so you and your family can have a great meal. Buzz's Barbecue and Steakhouse wishes the Nevada Tigers good luck in tonight's game. Buzz's Barbecue and Steakhouse at 2500 East Austin in Nevada. Call 667-422.
Hi, it's MyNevadaMo.com again, reminding you we are Nevada's community bulletin board. We post current and upcoming community events, government phone numbers from city to federal, a business directory, a parks and rec page, and school activities. Speaking of school, MyNevadaMo.com would like to congratulate our students and our sports teams. Our Tigers demonstrate the spirit, sportsmanship, and values that make this country great and make Nevada a great place to live. You make us proud on the field and in the classroom. MyNevadaMo.com is rooting for you.
Twice a year is the minimum. You owe it to yourself. A checkup with Dr. Travis Jackson at Nevada Family Dentistry. New patients are always accepted. Call today for an appointment at 667-3006. Nevada Family Dentistry offers you the highest level of dental care available in a warm, comfortable environment with services for all ages. They are now your local source for dental implants. Open Tuesday 8:30 to noon and 1 to 5. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 8:30 to 1 and 2 to 5. Nevada Family Dentistry, 667-3006 at 402 East Walnut in Nevada.
That'll do it for Tiger Talk tonight. Appreciate you joining us. Of course, thanks to the coaches for joining us tonight. Lady Tiger head basketball coach Blake Howard, Tiger head coach Sean Gray, and head wrestling coach David Hawks. Appreciate them joining us on this Wednesday night just prior to the Christmas holiday, taking time out of their holiday breaks to come in and talk about Nevada High School athletics. Thanks to Andrew Pickett for his contribution on the program tonight as well. Of course, we'll be taking some time off. We will not have a program next Wednesday night. We'll have no broadcasts for Nevada High School Athletics until after the first of the year. That will return on Monday, January the 4th, when the Nevada Tigers travel to Clinton to take on the Cardinals. The Nevada Lady Tigers will get their season back underway on Thursday, January the 7th, when they'll begin Big 8 West Division play with a road date at Monette against the Lady Cubs. And Nevada Tiger Wrestling will be waiting until the first full weekend of January, actually January 9th, before they get their season back underway. The Nevada Tiger Wrestlers on the boys' side at Excelsior Springs. Lady Tiger Wrestlers will be at Seneca for a tournament on that Saturday, January the 9th. So we got a busy back half of the schedule coming up. But right now, everybody enjoying the holiday break. We hope you enjoy yours as well. We tell you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll look forward to be back with you 2 weeks from tonight on January the 6th for our next Nevada Tiger Talk program here on Double K Country. So until then, for all the coaches and for Andrew Pickin, I'm Mike Harbit. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. That's Tiger Talk on Double K Country. Good night, everybody.
AM 1240 KNEM, 97.5 FM, KNMO in Nevada.